Hey, Dave Meltzer here, and I sat down with the second most famous person from Akron, Ohio, Chris Paff. You may remember him from the Fantasy Factory. He's also Rob Dyrdek's cousin, and we'll talk about how using those relationships really has a system and how the educational system in Ohio may have failed him. But most importantly, we also talked about which was better, Skyway or Swenson's. And for people in California, that's like arguing what's better, Shake Shack or In-N-Out. But really started to understand how to get a direct path of revenue and how to leverage relationships with our closest friends, family, etc. Chris Drama knows how to bring it because he is a Buckeye, and not only a Buckeye, he's like LeBron James and I, born in Akron, Ohio. So stick around with Chris Drama and I here on The Playbook. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer. All right, this is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing, here with Entrepreneur The Playbook, and I'm here with a fellow Buckeye. Drama, how are you?
That's right, man. Are you from Ohio?
I'm from Akron, Ohio. You ever hear of it?
No way.
Yeah, Swenson's is my favorite restaurant
Holy
in the world.
Holy cow, you told me, man, right before we started, you're like, we have some stuff in common. I didn't know it was that.
Yeah.
Holy cow, I thought you were going to say like, oh, I'm from like, you know, Cincinnati.
No, man, we were in the exclusive club because you and I both know what it's like to be from Ohio. But I think what I really want to get into is I believe that some people think, say, and do all the right things.
Yeah.
But they have limiting beliefs.
Yes.
And we're both from the same place. I still have friends back there, and they're living in a different world than I live in. Yep. Only because they believe they are.
Yep.
And you're someone that kind of packed up, moved out, and followed a dream of being a professional skateboarder.
Yeah.
Originally.
Yeah.
I want you to explain to people where your philosophy and courage came from, because there's so many people out there that come from these small towns.
Yeah.
And they feel all this pressure that they can't leave for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You and I don't feel that way.
100%.
But I love Ohio.
I love Ohio too. And man, I could not agree with you more. And it's something that, like, I think as I started to get older, you know, naturally, like as you start to get a little older, you start to track back how you got here and what, you know, what's different with you, good or bad, from you and the other people. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I really like latched onto were those limiting beliefs. And it made me not only sort of reevaluate what limiting beliefs I have today, you know, but also what ones I didn't have that led me to take leaps and do some things that other people directly around me in my circle didn't. As far as what really caused it, I can't 100% tell you, because I never had any sort of mindset like practice or read any books or anything like that. I do that now and I'm just mind blown of like, oh my gosh, like there's tools for this, you know, and there's like people that can help
rich,
you with this.
Our
yeah,
favorite book.
Absolutely. And like, there's so many things there for you to help, but like, we're not taught that in school, right? You're taught maybe you can run a little faster or get better at math or do whatever, but you're not taught limiting beliefs and sort of mindset and all those things. So what I really, I give the credit to naturally just wanting to grow and learn and get better. Like I just want that so badly at all times. And I've found out that that is the core of what drives me constantly. It's not money directly. It's not anything but just learning, growing, and feeling like I'm becoming a better, more evolved person. So I've always been that way. I just didn't know what it was. I also was a younger brother, which my brother was always better than me at everything. Everything school, better son. My parents, like he did everything they asked. He played multiple sports. He was better at skateboarding, which was my passion. And it gave me this mentality of like, I have to fight as hard as I possibly can to stand a chance at even being equal, you know, like yeah. It wasn't like, and so it made me this like fighter and willing to do anything. And so I think that when, like, you know, obviously the biggest single transition in my life was moving to Los Angeles. And when it came time for that, there wasn't even a part of me that second guessed it. I believed that I was worthy of something more, of a better life that existed in LA. I didn't really know what that was. And I was willing to fight till I died to get it.
And you that, know? A lot of times that persistence is what it takes. Part of the reason I wanted you on the podcast is that you, to me, encapsulate an entrepreneur. And I'd like to get your perspective on school, for example, mm-hmm. because a lot of entrepreneurs come and ask me, you know, should I get my MBA? Should I get my law degree? And I'm overeducated because I am an entrepreneur.
Yep.
And I will go on the record of saying, I believe whatever you do to invest in yourself mm-hmm. is well worth it.
Yep.
But as far as being an entrepreneur, tell me your philosophy about school and how it would help you be an entrepreneur, or what your philosophies are.
Here's what I think. I think if you know what you want to do and school is required in that, there's a lot of jobs that that's the case. Go to school, try to go to the best one, try to do the best, do whatever it takes to do that. If you're one of those people that graduates high school and you're just completely unsure of what you want to do, what direction you want to go, and you think that college is going to help you figure that out, you couldn't be more wrong. Sure, there's a chance that you go there, you run into someone, there's this serendipitous thing, and you find, sure, that could happen, but I don't think it's worth the gamble of how much it costs to go do that. I think that right now in 2018, we have access to so much education. Education doesn't mean school. You know, and I think we have access to so much education with podcasts like yours and books and ebooks and everything under the sun. You can very easily dig around on that stuff, spend your time listening to good podcasts and watching good content as opposed to like World Star Hip Hop and, you know, sports highlights, and and just figure it out. Figure out what starts to attract you. Go intern for people. Go, you know, do anything to expose yourself. Even travel. Go find a cheap way to travel around Europe. Do anything to expose yourself to the world, and things will start to grab you, and that will start to steer you.
That's great advice. It's funny because a lot of people ask me about college and if they should go to college and what college they should go to, and I ask what they want to do. Yep. Like you said, if you want to be a doctor, you better go to college. Yep. Very few other ways past do that. But if you want to be an entrepreneur, what I do is I email them a list.
Yeah.
And I said, here's, if you want to go to college and be an entrepreneur, here's the list of schools I would go to and why. And what the list is, it's the most donated money mm-hmm. to the football programs. And let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. Because I figured, if there's like this emotional attachment to their school that they give so much money, and Texas A&M is top of the list, right? I would go there because if I graduated and I wanted to be an entrepreneur, that means I have the biggest network of rich people that are willing to put their dollars because I went to that school. Which is
really smart. That's really smart. That's like expert level advice.
And the reason I tell the story is I'm looking at how you, what I call above the game when it comes to being an entrepreneur. I think being an entrepreneur is simple because you take the relationship side, right? You have a famous cousin that helps you out. Just you wanted a place to figure yourself out. But not everybody would have taken advantage of saying, gosh, you know, my cousin makes money off of apparel or I've seen people in with exposure do that. And then they simply just start building a brand, and you have a great brand, right? Young and the Reckless. You know, and I had a joke. We always have a guy in my Hall of Fame sign something. I was going to have you sign my publicist Brad's chest because he is the Young and the Reckless. but we brought a shirt instead.
I'm
just
fully
to spoil
open to it.
Cool.
As long as it's big permanent marker.
But tell me where that awareness, right? Do you think that business is difficult? Well, I shouldn't say difficult, complex.
Yeah.
Or do you see a direct path to revenue, very simple direct path to revenue?
You mean, I guess, what do you mean by that in the sense of like, is that how I think about business?
Yeah, or? When you see an opportunity, it seems to me what all the things you're doing, you kind of say, okay, you know, fantasy, I could just do this and that would equal this. And I see so many people think so. There's such complexity to their thoughts instead of, you seem to find a direct path to revenue, a simple 100% path to revenue.
Yeah, I try to. And I guess with Young and Reckless, the reason why I wanted you to clarify from my own understanding is because like with Young and Reckless, I 1,000,000% did. I saw a direct path and I took it and it worked. I've also tried some other things that I thought were direct paths and they weren't. I tried a frozen burrito company because I thought like, well, I could do everything I did with Young and Reckless, market it off of all of our platforms and just sell it to 7-Eleven. And all of our fans probably love 7-Eleven, but there's a whole different set of politics and shelf space issues. So I got a little ahead of myself, but I've tried a bunch of stuff. And what I have learned is, if you, by all means necessary, try to have that direct path to revenue because it's so important. And I think it's so easy to get lost in thinking that you have a world-changing idea and you have the next big thing. And you start to convince yourself that there is a direct path to revenue, even though there isn't. And I think like if you can start with the beginning, the middle, and the end figured out, you're still going to have a lot of twists and turns along the way. But at least you have a path to go. You know where you're headed. You know where the money is, right? And you know how to sustain this thing. So with Young and Reckless, I 1,000,000%. I mean, we had built not only a following, but you know, a brand in itself off of doing all these shows and doing all this stuff. And I saw that. I saw Rob, but also I saw so many people around us. You know, I saw what Ken Block was doing with DC Shoes.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, Ken Block was, I don't want to say using in a bad way, but using Rob to market DC. And DC went from like $100 million pre-Robin Big to $500 million in revenue post, right? And a huge part of that was Robin Big and Fantasy Factory. So that's what got my attention, is how can I be Ken Block? And then I saw Rob do, he partnered with this guy and did a little startup brand called Rogue Status. And they had this really cool culture down in Venice where they had a store and kids would go hang out there and it felt like a little gang. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, this is what I want to be a part of. I want to have this startup thing and I want to try to be able to scale it like how Ken did with DC and use brand integration and media and, you know, and really take this to the next level. So we did that. And then there just happened to be a perfectly set up line of distribution being PacSun, Zumiez, and Tilly's, where all of our viewers shopped. So this was like pre-e-com, really.
Yeah.
And it was pre-social media, really. So you had to kind of piece it together from outside things as opposed to saying, here's my Instagram and here's my webpage. And so having a show on MTV that was a hit with the skater sort of audience and then being able to sell directly to PacSun, Zumiez, Tilly's, where they all shopped, was just an absolute home run.
But there's a simplicity and a clarity that you had. It's funny. I believe in mentorship. Mm-hmm. When I was your age, I retired, multimillionaire.
Yep.
And I lost everything because I thought I knew everything,
yeah.
Right? And I made some big mistakes. Like, it seems simple that in my mind, being 50 years old,
yeah.
Of course 7-Eleven would be different,
yeah.
Right? In my mind, in my experience,
yes.
And I made those same mistakes. Well, I have a mentor now, a new one, and he's the CEO of Denny's.
Yep.
And he had the exact same philosophy of yours, though. They just signed Magic Johnson because of what he represents, the magic of, and he's had 8 straight years of growth at Denny's,
yep.
But yet he sees Magic as, like, you know, DC saw Rob,
yeah.
Right? And it could quadruple or even 10 times their revenue by having that right icon with it.
Yep.
At 31, because I really want to encourage entrepreneurs about having mentors.
Yep.
Do you have mentors and how important are they?
I do. So I mean, this is what's funny about, because I know a lot of people have been talking about this issue lately and a lot of people ask me it. I feel like I have so many mentors that I don't even, like, I can't even tell you, like, oh, here's my 2 mentors. Like, I feel like I'm constantly learning, asking for help, calling a friend that's been there. I think that the same as you said about yourself, like, when I was younger and finding some early success, I think I too built up a little bit of an ego, and I built up this, like, I can do it myself and I'm going to show everyone how smart I am thing.
Yeah, especially older brother, right?
Absolutely. Like, no one's going to tell me anything.
Me too.
And so I think that I subconsciously shied away from it a little bit. Now at 31, being through all the ups and downs and everything I've been through, like, I call people for help on everything. And I, you know, even when I started a podcast 1.5 years or so ago, I just went with, you know, Brendan Schaub, who has a real big podcast, yeah. And all these guys, and just asked them questions, sat in, asked them if they'd do a podcast with me so that I could see how it would go. And all that time, I was just seeing what equipment, how they did it, what are the roadblocks. So literally, Brendan Schaub is a podcast, or is a mentor to me on podcasting, along with 1 million other people. But I ask Rob still a lot of advice, a lot of stuff. My business partner D has been in clothing for 8 years prior to me. I ask him every single day what he thinks I should do. I am surrounded by great mentors and people that I can ask for guidance.
That's awesome. And yeah. it takes great humility, right?
And yeah.
And it does, even as successful as you are, it takes humility. And, you know, that's why at 50, I live the same. People sitting in the situation, regardless of their age,
yeah.
In the situation I want to be in. I did the same thing with my books, my TV show, my podcast, because I knew nothing about it. And then,
yeah.
You know, Gary Vee is my mentor in the branding side with the videos,
yeah.
Because, you know, there's not many people my age doing what I do. And it's kind of kooky to that matter. I love to ask really great entrepreneurs like yourself, younger entrepreneurs,
yeah.
What advice would you give, you know, me at 50, looking as little as much as you know, what advice would you give me? Your best piece of advice?
My best piece of advice is that you need to connect with your audience. And connecting with your audience no longer means finding good distribution. That's kind of what it used to mean, right? Like, you want to connect numbers, with your audience, right? What network are you going to go to, or what retailer, or what whatever? It means the way that you communicate on a daily basis with the people following you. And I think that if you can, we have all the tools now. We have Instagram and stories and podcasts. We have more than we could ever need. The question is, how are you communicating? What is the story? Why do they like you over the other 5 million options that they have to listen to? They're giving us a lot of their time. You know, I have a pod too, like I said, and like, these things are an hour long. These things are 30 minutes long, however long. That's a lot of time in 2018 to give.
That's why I keep this at 20.
Yeah, man. Thank God.
I'll go with the shorter attention span.
Because that probably helps. But yeah. I'm saying, like, to have people even give up 20 minutes, think of all the other things they're replacing. And so there just has to be a reason why they say, man, I really like Dave.
Right.
Because just having good information and good whatever isn't quite going to do it anymore. It's like, I like Dave. He's cool. He teaches us stuff. He doesn't, you know, he lets his guard down. So that's what I would say.
That's awesome. And I call that, you got it. There's 4 billion people out there on the internet.
Yeah.
And you got to find your frequency. Yeah. It doesn't take much. If you find your frequency, then you'll be able to, if you attract 0.001% of the 4 billion,
yep,
you're going to be really successful. And then right, the key is, guys like you and I are good at monetizing,
yep,
monetizing that frequency.
Yep.
What do you think your frequency is? Because I'd love to see your own self-perception of it.
Well, my frequency is the people that are smart and more so hungry and maybe didn't grow up in a super nice city, or maybe didn't have,
like,
you know, yeah, exactly, like a little outside of Coventry, or, you know, didn't go to an Ivy League school, didn't go to any college, didn't care really at all in high school, and sort of the system, not to sound all like anarchist, but yeah, the system didn't really speak to them, but they know they want more. Those are the people that I'm trying to talk to, because I'm trying to say that was me too. I was just getting out of school whenever I could to go skateboard. I couldn't have cared less about college or school dances or any of that stuff. But at the same time, I still wanted to succeed. I still wanted a good life. I still want a home in Los Angeles and a wife and kids. And like, that's still what I want.
Yeah.
Just because I'm that kid doesn't mean I'm some degenerate that wants to go live in a gutter. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I want to speak to that kid who's hungry and will do anything to get it. And the normal way of going about it doesn't quite speak to them.
And I love that, because I think the whole country and the world is moving that direction. When I was a kid, it was doctor, lawyer, or failure.
Yeah.
And there's a tremendous amount of pressure. And I'm one of the things I'm doing for my legacy is trying to figure out how to adjust the educational system,
yeah,
to allow for socialization, because I don't want kids staying at home. Like, I have 3 daughters that are teenagers right now and an 8-year-old. I'm sending all of them to college for the experience.
Yeah.
I had to tell my oldest, who got straight A's, I'm like, it takes twice as much to get straight A's as it does to get all A's and a B. Twice as much work.
Yeah.
That last day, I don't know what it was,
yeah,
but I watched it all throughout my law school, business, undergrad.
Yeah.
I go, she goes to New Orleans, right? Tulane. I'm like, go have a good time. Work half as much. And she's looking at me because she has my grandmother, you know, she's the oldest, yeah, my grandmother on her that's doctor, lawyer, or failure.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here going, you'll be able to, if you have passion, purpose, you'll be able to find the profitability. Yeah. Yeah. What legacy would you want to leave? Because you're right at this great transition. You're not 17-year-old. You're not a 17-year-old on Musical.ly,
yeah,
that has 6 million followers,
yeah,
but you're not 50 years old.
Sometimes I
and
wish
it's
I was.
All over.
Yeah, me too. Just want to say, it seems like a pretty good life.
For a while, right? But what do you do when you're 50 and still watching
exactly
that stuff?
What was the other one? I'm sorry.
Sorry. And, you know, and you're not 50 like me. What legacy do you want to leave? Because you have a lot to do still,
yeah,
and a lot of passion to share.
Yeah. Long-term, you mean? Like, yeah, kind of life
long-term
legacy?
Life legacy.
I think it ties into that, into my frequency. It's like, there are, I think that unfortunately the way that we're raised and high school, the education system is, and it's just kind of, you're either a success and you do well and you're popular and you get good grades and you're hopefully set up to go on and be great, or you're a failure and there's no path for you, you know? And I think now, like you were saying, it is amazing that you can skip school and listen to some amazing podcasts and probably get a lot better education. I'm not That's saying all. Skip school, guys, right. Don't do that. Yeah. But it's now available to you, you know? And I think that I would love one day to say that in any way I helped alter the education system. Like, I hope one day when I get older and I have hopefully a lot more money and can say that I really, because I think it's really broken and I think that it leads people into kind of the abyss. So that's it. I just want to say that, man, I want people to say that guy made me feel like it was possible even though I didn't take the normal path.
So you got a new definition of drama school. So it's
there
perfect,
go,
right?
The, man. Come drama to drama school.
Of drama. Chris School of Drama.
There you go.
All right, I don't usually do this, but an added question, a bonus question.
Please.
Only the people from Ohio, especially Akron, Cleveland, are going to get this.
Yep.
Skyway or Swenson's?
Oh, my gosh. It is like almost, to me, I'm almost offended that you would even compare the two.
Good.
It is Swenson's by a long shot.
All right, and LeBron James would say the same thing.
There you go.
This is two Buckeyes from Akron, Ohio. Drama, Dave Meltzer, Entrepreneur, The Playbook. Thank you so much for joining me on The Playbook. What a great episode. Remember to subscribe, leave a review or suggestions or requests. I'd love them, keep them coming, and join me every Tuesday.